time now for Bible Talk. Join Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw as they open the Bible to deepen our understanding of God's Word.
Hi, and welcome to Bible Talk, where we talk about the Bible and how the Bible affects you today. I'm John Bradshaw.
And I'm Gary Gibbs.
Last time on Bible Talk, we talked about the second death and hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the Bible talks about the second death and hellfire. It's a pretty serious business.
Certainly is. And we looked, John, and we saw that in the Bible, that second death is when people die in the fires of hell. Jesus said in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there are only two options, two states of being here. If we believe in God, we get everlasting life.
You live forever.
We live forever. If we don't believe in him, then we perish. We don't get everlasting life in hell. We perish. The Bible says that we turn into ashes. Malachi 4, verses 1 through 4 says, the wicked will be ashes under the soles of our feet.
Okay, so the gift of God is eternal life. You live forever. The alternative to that is to be dead forever. The Bible doesn't call it the second death for no reason at all. Now, friend, we're looking at this biblically, and we might be slaying somebody's sacred cow today. So if that's happening for you, or if you'd like to know more, be sure to listen for our offer at the end of the program. Is the devil really in charge of hell? Is the devil in charge of hell? You'll be able to call us, email us, and get this resource. Hey, I want to stir your thinking a little bit like this. Gary, help me out here. Some of the real despots of history, some of the real wicked people of history, who would they include?
Adolf Hitler.
Okay, without question. Joseph Stalin, perhaps. Who else?
Idi Amin.
Pol Pot. Someone's going to say Saddam Hussein. Mm-hmm. There are many. I would submit, and I want to do this carefully, understand I'm not attempting to be irreverent here, but I would submit that in the minds of many Christians, the worst and most cruel figure that ever was is this picture of God that they have had painted for them by preachers and teachers down through the years. Because, and this is true now, many preachers, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and suggest that they mean well, have presented God in a picture, in a manner that makes him more cruel and despotic and hateful than any human tyrant that has ever lived. Why?
And that's a shocking statement.
No, but listen.
We preach the love of God. God loves us. God died for us in his Son. Well, who's this tyrant God you're talking about?
Well, I tell you what. Anyone that had punishment inflicted upon them by Hitler or Stalin was ultimately put out of their misery, right? The ultimate punishment, the end of this thing, was death. But the Christian is being told that there is a God who would take a sinner, an unbeliever, and roast them and toast them and burn them and torture them forever and ever, and much worse than Hitler or Stalin or Pol Pot or any of these tyrants ever treated somebody. And you know what's interesting about this? I've read the testimony of many, many people well known, mm-hmm. who have said they've been turned off God and away from religion and Christianity because mm-hmm. of this. I tell you, one person among them, our friend Charles Darwin. Mm-hmm. Charles Darwin was, this is what he says, turned off God because what he was told the Bible says about this picture of God punishing people forever and ever and ever.
Well, there's a text, though, John, that says that very thing will happen. Now, you've made a good point. You've said this casts a reflection on God and makes him out to be a tyrant.
Of the worst kind.
And we need to come back to that. But we also need to look at the fact that the Bible does say, for instance, in Revelation 14, 9 through 11, the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. What do you do with that? What does that mean? I mean, that's the Bible text we're preaching out of when we talk about the dead are going to be burning in fire forever and ever and ever. And Revelation 20:10 says the same thing.
All right. The first thing I'm going to encourage you to do is use your head. The Bible says God so loved the world. The Bible says God is love. And now I'm going to ask you to try and meld that with the idea that God is going to torment someone forever and ever and ever. Some person who may have been quite a moral person and quite a decent person, but never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God says, right, you never made that decision. I'm going to roast you forever And a billion years from now, when you're screaming for mercy, I'll look at you and say, I've only just begun. And I'll give you another billion. And we'll keep doing this ad infinitum. First thing, use your head. Second thing, you mentioned a verse a couple of minutes ago. The Bible says that the wicked will be ashes under the soles of your feet, Malachi 4.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in Ezekiel 28, the devil will be reduced to ashes.
Mm-hmm.
In the Psalms, the wicked will not be, Psalm 37. I believe it's Psalm 68, the wicked will be as the fat of lambs. They will consume away into smoke. The preponderance of evidence and the weight of Bible texts says that the wicked will cease to exist and they'll be reduced to nothing. Mm-hmm. You've got a couple of these sticky ones, and they are there for sure, that say forever and ever. So the first thing,
and
the way,
by the way, there's only two of those.
It's not many
that they do that. And I think that was Psalm 27, where they consume away into smoke.
I'll take it wherever
Psalm
it is.
Psalm 37.
Yeah,
Psalm 37.
All right, that'll work as well. There's a similar verse in Psalm 68.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the first thing, weight of evidence. All these many texts, they say hell will eventually reduce the sinner to nothing. Versus a couple that say forever and ever. Is that good enough?
Well, you have the weight of evidence, as you mentioned.
Maybe we need more.
But we do need more, because we have to understand, what does it mean that they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever? Because this is the teaching. God's going to torment them day and night forever and ever. What does that really mean then?
I'm going to tackle this from the forever and ever aspect. You know, there are plenty of places in the Bible that use the phrase forever and ever. And it doesn't mean forever and ever the way we understand forever and ever.
Well, explain that to me.
Well, it means for a given period of time. It's going to take as long as it's going to take. Best way to explain it is by going to the Bible. You've got the story of that godly mother, Hannah. And she prayed that God would give her a child, and God gave her the boy, Samuel. And so what she does is she dedicates Samuel to God, takes him down to the temple, and says Samuel is going to be down there in the temple forever. Now, if you're going to use this definition of forever and connect it with the common view about hell, one of the common views about hell, then that means that Samuel ought to still be in that temple right now, because forever means forever.
Well,
yet six verses later, Gary, mm-hmm. six verses later, the Bible says, and Hannah said this, he will be in the temple for as long as he lives.
Mm-hmm.
So forever means as long as he lives. And now we can understand this thing. It means for as long as it goes on, as long as it takes.
We have a similar example with Jonah. Remember Jonah?
Oh, sure.
Swallowed by the big fish in Jonah 2:6. He says he went down in the moorings of the mountains, the base of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever.
Oh, man. But it says in the same book, and everybody knows, he was only there 3 days and three nights.
Now, Jonah 1:17.
That's not forever, is it?
No, but it felt like forever.
I guess if you're in the belly of a fish, 3 days and three nights is forever.
I think the word forever is used like 53 times.
No, let me tell you
something.
How
many times?
I wrote an article about this mm-hmm. one time, and I made a statement, I guess. I don't know whether I said 53 or 63 times.
Mm-hmm.
I said the word forever appears in the Bible, you know, dozens of times, and I gave a number. And it's always in association with an event that's done. Another example, God told Israel, you'll keep this feast day forever. But we know they don't keep it right now. They weren't going to keep it forever. It was just for as long as you needed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
A lady wrote me a letter. She said, could you furnish me with a list of all these forevers? I said, oh, I can do it. I at that time, I had a little computer concordance, you know. So I typed this thing in and boom, pulled up the list and started writing them out. Or cutting and pasting or something. I got to about 85.
Hmm.
And I finished. I said, lady, there's more. Get a concordance and find them. But, you know, I'm done. I've found 85 of these things for you. You can go find the rest. There's dozens of places in the Bible where the word or the phrase forever, forever and ever is used in conjunction with an event that has been and gone and is over. So forever doesn't always mean the way we think of going on without ever ending, you see.
And this isn't your opinion or my opinion. This is recognized by Hebrew and Greek scholars. I'm reading from the Note at Gesenius, his Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon on the word forever, olam. He says the word forever in the original is always defined from the nature of the thing itself. When it's applied to human affairs, and especially to individual men, it commonly signifies all the days of their life. For instance, like Samuel, as long as he lived, he was lent of the Lord and was there in the temple forever. So it would be like me saying, John, here we are on the east coast of the United States. I'm going to walk back and visit my relatives in California.
Oh, man, I'd say, Gary, that'll take you forever.
Yeah. It wouldn't. It would take a long time, but it wouldn't take forever. And that's why Vine's expository dictionary on the Greek word for this, it's used in the New Testament, he says, forever describes duration, undefined, but not endless. So here, if you take a mortal man who's a sinner, and he's not given immortality, so he doesn't have asbestos flesh.
Right.
When he's thrown into the fire, his torment is for as long as his body lasts in there, and that is for his forever. But then the results of the fire are also forever.
Absolutely right. If we took a piece of paper and set it on fire, the thing is not going to burn forever, but it will be burned forever, right?
That's correct.
Forever it's going to be burned up. It's burned up and gone.
Now, related to this is the concept of eternal hellfire. In Jude verse 7, it says that Sodom and Gomorrah suffered the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, that's not a fire that's still burning today.
No, if you take what many people believe, Sodom and Gomorrah should still be smoking away over there in the Middle East.
But instead, it's actually been turned into ashes. And that's what Peter says in 2 Peter 2, verse 6. He says that they've been turned into ashes, condemned to destruction as an example to those who would live ungodly. So he says the example of Sodom and Gomorrah having an eternal fire, a fire that has eternal consequences. They were turned into ashes. Same thing will happen to the ungodly.
So if you want to know what hell's going to be like, the Bible says, look at what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. I got a thought here. Can you think of any places in the Bible where God sent down fire from heaven? And if so, what happened when he did? I'm thinking of Mount Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
He sent the fire down from heaven, and what did it do? It burned up. It burned up everything. Mm-hmm. It even burned up the rocks and left nothing. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, the ground opened up and swallowed mm-hmm. some of those cats. Fire came down and burned up some. They were burned up. They didn't burn forever and ever and ever and ever. They were burned up. You can think of other places. Wasn't it Elijah who called down fire on those false prophets? No, on those folks that came to arrest him.
Mm-hmm.
Fire came down, burned them up. Happened more than once until, of course, some wised up and said, don't burn us up. Whenever God sent fire, it did its job and reduced these things to nothing.
And the fire is real, and sinners, unrepentant sinners, will burn in that fire. We don't know how long it will last. And it could last for days, it could last for a period of time, because people are paying, they're reaping the results of their sin. But ultimately, they'll be turned into ashes. But the good news is, we don't have to be there if we make Jesus our Savior today.
I appreciate what this says about God. He is just, but he's not unkind, merciless, and horrible. It paints a better picture of God. This is a God you can love and trust. Trust him with your heart and receive eternal life from him today. And be sure to join us here next time for more of Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free, informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for, Is the Devil in Charge of Hell? The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California, 95678. That's P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California, 95678. Or email us at BibleTalk@LifeTalk.net. BibleTalk@LifeTalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.